thought that what links me to North East is environment groups. Because for the last 20 years, I've been working in the Western Ghats. You know, Western Ghats is like the Himalayas. There's a biodiversity hotspot, very, very important from a conservation point of view. So for the last 20 years, I've been working on forest and river conservation in the Western Ghats. And that brought me to one of the important rivers in the Western Ghats, that's the Talakudi River. And just giving a brief background on how I came down to environment flows. Because it's not, I've got an academic background in environment flows, but it's like how the river flows, I came down to it, that's all. And how I came down to it, because I think it's very relevant for groups who are working over here, because how do we relate to each other, how we relate to the subject, because we are all working on rivers, or human rights related rivers, or social impacts related rivers, so this is all very important, I think. So that's why I thought I'll give this introduction. So actually, we started looking at a river from the point of how dams are affecting rivers. And then there was a proposal to construct a seventh dam in a very small river. There's nothing when compared to Brahmaputra. Not even smaller than the smallest tributary of Brahmaputra, let me tell you, to be honest. Just about 144 kilometer river. But an important river in the Western Ghats. Western Ghats, all rivers are very small. Except for the Krishna and the Godavari, which are actually east flowing. But these are all west flowing short rivers. So what happened is, when we entered into a dam struggle, just like all of many of my friends over here, gradually we were able to stall the dam after a long fight of about 15 years. But along with that, we learned that it's not only dams that's the issue. Even if a dam is not going to be constructed in that river, the river is dead. So we are faced with that situation that there are 6 dams already in a river, a 7th dam is going to be constructed, and though we are able to stall it, the river is in a bad shape. So what's the crux of the problem? The crux of the problem lies that the river is not flowing, even with the presence of 6 dams, the river is not flowing as it should be. So that is what brought me to the concept of environment flows. I mean, why should a river flow? How much did it flow? And at that time, fortunately or unfortunately, in the year 2002, again it has come back like a big bang. The interlinking of rivers came up in India. We know that Brahmaputra is also part of the ILR. It is being now again, it has again come back after Supreme Court direction. And what happened is that, during those days, it was because now environment flows is actually one more addition to the larger picture of discussion of ILR. From those days, it was in 2003 when ILR came up in India for the first time. The important discussion was, who are we to twist and bend rivers like pipes? Because ILR is all about linking rivers, we all know. I mean, defying all geology, geography, ecology, we are going to link up Brahmaputra to the Kaveri and even to the White Park, that is in the Tamil Nadu, through a series of links. And the same thing has come back again. So these questions were raised in those days. So these two together started making me think that, I mean, how much water should flow in a river, and what is environment flows all about? And so then gradually attended a lot of workshops, and we also had our own ground experience of working in this small river. So gradually we came down to research, I mean, that one of the important ways by which you can try to improve a little bit of the flows is to how the existing reservoirs in that river can be managed. How the operation of the reservoir can be managed in a way that will increase the flows downstream. In the sense, most of the dams, that's also going to happen in the Brahmaputra if all the dams get constructed. Hope not. If all the dams get constructed, tomorrow we are going to face a big problem of managing the river during peak load and off-peak time. And during the daytime, the flow pattern in the river will be almost like a dead river. And the evenings, you will have a lot of water flowing down the river. And actually, even without dams, even without a 7th dam, or the river in which I am working is already experiencing that. And lot of downstream irrigation projects, ecology, downstream drinking water projects, all have been impaired because of it. So that is why it set us thinking on how to work out an action strategy for improving the flows. And then we came down to how reservoir operations management can become a way of improving flows in downstream, for downstream populations, for downstream drinking water needs, for downstream irrigation needs, for downstream ecology. Because once you release more water, automatically the ecology also improves. But this is not based on, because as one of the important, like Professor Goswami was saying, we don't have any data. And we all start from the data that's available to the government. So all these aspects I will be talking in detail, because in environment flows also we are going to face the same problem. So how do you deal with limited data? How do you deal with the available situation? Because in Indian rivers, we don't have any information available. But still, we have reached that situation especially in the northeast and the western Himalayas, where we have to start thinking in terms of rivers, we have to start addressing dams in terms of rivers. So giving a global picture of the whole thing, because it's not something that's happening only in India. It's happening all over the world. We know that in US, China and India are the biggest, largest dam builders. And if you look at the red marks, India has a big red mark. Almost the peninsular region in India is red. It shows that almost, reservoirs are containing more amount of water than the river. And not only that, less than one quarter of the main river channel is left without dams. So you can see the red in India. Leave out all the other countries for the present, but look at India, because now the yellow one in the coming 50 years will become red. The yellow part I'm talking about, so this is the yellow, just little bit part of India. This is the Brahmaputra basin and the other Indus Himalayan basins we are talking about, which are going to become red in the coming 50 years if all the dams get constructed. So, let us face this, that we are now already talking about a scenario in which flows in the rivers are already regulated. And we are going to talk about Brahmaputra and the other Himalayan rivers, what's going to happen to them. Because already data is available that 41% of the population of the whole world is living in river basins under stress. And most of the larger rivers like the Nile, the Colorado, the Indus, and even the Ganga, with all these dams in the pipeline, with all the dams already constructed, even the Ganga is struggling to reach the seas during summer. During summer, that's very important, not during the other season. All these rivers, Indus, Colorado, and Nile, there is already record evidence of the river not reaching the seas during summer. And where because here it has been now, Europe was since WCD, because we all know about the World Convention on Dams. India was a country which refused to inaugurate the World Convention on Dams in the year 2000. But now, I'm sure that many of us are repenting it, because in World Convention on Dams itself, it has already been stated that dams are the most important, the direct and often irreversible modifiers of flows. Once a dam comes, it's permanent. And it permanently impairs or it permanently regulates the flow of the river. And there are so many aspects which are, how a dam regulates a river is the long list that I've provided. Because it's not like we have already, this is all based on the experiences, it's already happening in many of the river basins. Because in most of the rivers, in Western Ghats rivers, I already know it, the river is fragmented between the dams. There are no flows between the dams in many of the cases. And the most important thing is with the millennial ecosystem assessment, even we had a year of biodiversity, I think last year was a year of biodiversity, in which the one of the most important threats to freshwater ecosystems was dams. It was stated that one of the most important threats to freshwater ecosystems, because you won't know the rate in Western Ghats, I know very well, that the number of fishes in the Western Ghats rivers are coming down like anything, especially in the dam rivers. Because the flows got disconnected, the rivers the rivers have been converted into reservoirs, into chains with no water in between, and most of the water that is stored in the reservoirs. And the basins like Krishna and Kaveri, which are the western rivers which are on the reach of the Western Ghats, and the Godavari, which are at the list, the basins are closing. And what's a closing basin? I'm sure many of the persons who are sitting here, the senior persons who know, but for the benefit of the younger generation, basin closing means, it actually has to do with where the extraction is more than what is coming back to the river. When we are extracting the dams, the diversion, irrigation projects, including the groundwater extraction, because now what's happening, irrigation scenario in India is a real mirage. We have the irrigation potential in India is increasing. But actually more contribution now comes from groundwater. Because in spite of building so many dams, now we are moving back to groundwater. Because irrigation dams are not delivering their results. So the river is the groundwater of the river, the surface water, everything is getting now extracted, and what is going back to the river is not enough. So the river is not reaching the sea, and it is now being declared as closing. So Krishna, Godavari and Kaveri are almost declared as closing basins. And similarly, the floodplains, because when basins get closed, when the flows get reduced, automatically the floodplains, which is the most important, is the most fertile, which is the most important source of livelihood for millions in India. Those floodplains, we all live in the Ganga and Brahmaputra floodplains. Coming from the airport, here, at actually the road is through the floodplain of the river. You can make it out. And so these floodplains are the farming areas for any river, for the populations depending on it. The flows are not reaching the delta and the sea. There is clear evidence in the case of the Krishna River. The flows are not reaching delta, and so the delta fisheries are just coming down year by year. And similarly, the salinity. In Western Ghats rivers, we have short rivers like 30 kilometers. In Western Ghats, you won't believe. There are short 30 kilometer west flowing rivers. And the 20th kilometer, you have salinity coming. In the north part, northern part of Kerala, in Karnataka also, there are rivers which are 30, 40 kilometers. Just starting from the laterite hills. And where the salt water is entering into up to 20th kilometer. So rivers are dying and flows are regulated.